Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny, July 29th, 2025. Hope everybody is having an excellent Tuesday. Got a nice show planned for you today. Santana Moss, announced on Sunday as the newest member of the Redskins Commander's Ring of Fame, is going to be joining the show. That's in 1 hour. We'll talk to him about that accomplishment and honor. Brian Boldinger was at Commander's training camp over the weekend for NFL Network. Want to get his thoughts on the burgundy and gold. And John Keim, who covers the team day in and day out, has been at every single camp practice, will join us at 6 o'clock as he makes his way home from Ashburn. We'll talk to Cakes about training camp number 31 for him, I believe it is, covering this football team. But Washington, back to work, fans in attendance each of the last few days. It has been very hot and very sweaty, but it has been productive out in Ashburn.
Quick note, GP, a sad one from those of us in my age group, my era. When we first got cable, there wasn't that much on television. So a lot of us watched Braves games or on WGN, Chicago Superstation. I saw a lot of Ryan Sandberg play baseball, and he was great. People don't talk about him in the same level of reverence, mostly because those Cubs teams were usually garbage and they didn't win a lot of games, but it was about the bleacher creatures and taking your shirt off and getting drunk and the charm of Harry Carey. This is a 9-time gold glover who could beat you however you'd like to be beaten. Would you like a 50-steal season? Check. Would you like a 40-homer season? Check. As an incredible second baseman, one of the best and smoothest players I ever saw. Just an incredible, incredible baseball player. His last couple of years where he wasn't, you know, quite the same dude that he was in his prime, which happens when you're in your upper 30s, but basically hit 300 every year with 20-some homers, steal a base, gold glove defender, smooth as all hell at second base, but passed away yesterday. So rest in peace to a tremendous baseball player.
A 16-year career, almost exclusively with the Cubs. He started his very beginning of his career, his first 13 games in Philadelphia before going to Chicago, where he would spend 1982, his official rookie season, all the way through 1997. Didn't play in 95, obviously, but Hall of Famer, MVP award winner, 10-time All-Star, won a home run derby, 9-time Gold Glover, 7-time Silver Slugger as the best offensive player at his position at second, ended up being a coach and a manager and did everything pretty much that you can do in Major League Baseball. And he's one of those guys, not to say that there's ever a time when somebody passes and it's not sad, because it is, but he's young.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 65 years old. Mm-hmm. So I know he had been dealing with, I believe it was some form of prostate cancer that he succumbed to yesterday, sadly and tragically. But I mean, 65 is very different than when you hear somebody died in their 80s or 90s or something like that. So that was a real bummer yesterday. The Washington State native who turned into one of the great baseball players of his era, he was enshrined into Cooperstown in the Hall of Fame almost two decades ago.
Yeah, 20th round draft pick. Kind of, you know, those one of those old school things. Took a flyer, ended up winning the job in Chicago and never gave it up, man. Just a great player.
I want to start with the Commanders because I saw a piece that ESPN wrote about them and their young talent. This is something we've harped on and critiqued and kind of been, I would say, negative about at times over the last few years. Really toward the end of Rivera into the early part of the Quinn Peters regime, and it's not their fault. They've just inherited this problem. But that there isn't enough young, high upside talent on this team. And so I was really intrigued when I saw today that Aaron Schatz, formerly of Football Outsiders, now with ESPN.com, wrote a story where he ranked every single NFL team 1 to 32 for their talent under 25 years old. So this is, I believe you have to be 24 or younger. You cannot be 25, right? And because we know Washington's the oldest team in the league, and because we see that they're signing these one-year deals last year with Wagner and Ertz, and then you go back and you bring those guys back, and you have an older punter, and now you go get Von Miller, who's in his mid-30s, that there's plenty of aging veterans on the team. But I wanted to see, okay, well, how do they feel about the core that's being put together? Guys like Johnny Newton and Mike Sanristil and Ben Sinnott and Luke McCaffrey and Josh Connerly and you know, Brandon Coleman and Jaden Daniels. Saving the best for last. They have Washington listed as the third most talented team under 25 years old. Now, you would say that Jaden Daniels does the massive amount of heavy lifting there.
Yeah, everybody quickly looked up Jaden Daniels' birthday to figure out exactly when it was. And it's December, so he'll be 20. He turns 25 three quarters of the way through the season.
I think that when Daniels graduates, they'll go from third to very, very low on the list. Uh-huh. But for right now, this moment, they're third, and you could say, oh, it's one player. It's a pretty darn important player. I mean, it is the position that matters the most of every single position. I'm going to read what he wrote here, because he actually starts with saying, this ranking is not all about Daniels, but it is heavily Daniels. The 24-year-old quarterback replaced C.J. Stroud as the most valuable young player in the league after his dominant rookie season. He ranked fourth in the NFL in QBR, 10th in touchdowns, and he threw for almost 3,600 yards. On offense, Daniels is joined by 24-year-old Brandon Coleman. Played okay at tackle last year, now kicked inside to left guard. He goes on to say, 21-year-old rookie tackle Josh Connerly Jr. helps this list as well. The Commanders have some young skill players, too. Wide receiver Luke McCaffrey is 24. He'll graduate before next year's list. And tight end Ben Sinnott is 23. The Washington defense features less young talent than the offense does, but the highlights are cornerback Mike Sanristil, who is 24, and defensive tackle Johnny Newton. The 23-year-old is going to replace veteran Jonathan Allen. So when you actually go through that list, Quan Martin just age out. You've got Coleman, who's gone from tackle to guard. You have Connerly, who hopefully is going to be the long-term answer at right tackle if they can lock up Laremy Tunsil. But he's listing McCaffrey, who caught sub-20 balls last year. Sinnott, who caught five passes last season. I like Johnny Newton a lot. Mike Sanristil's excellent. He'll be out of the sub-25 group next year. Danny, he says it's not all Daniels. It kind of is.
It is. Respectfully. Now, this is the, you know, the kaleidoscope version or the future version. Like, if you are bullish on the production of Connerly, who we haven't seen play in an NFL game yet, of Sinnott, who had, what, four catches last year, of McCaffrey, who didn't catch a pass over the last month and a half, Johnny Newton, who was a rotational piece, is going to have a larger role. Sanristil, I think, was the other guy that produced. So the two production-heavy dudes. One, Daniels, I suppose Coleman too, so I had Coleman in that group. So three, Daniels, Coleman, and Sanristil. Great rookie years, great resumes, speak for themselves. That's not enough to put you third, though. You're third because you're bullish on what these other guys haven't done yet, and you think it's about to happen. That seems pretty bold for me. Or Daniels is such a heavy presence that it's the thumb on the scale for this, right?
It feels to me like a year from now when Jaden Daniels is 25 and no longer eligible.
Yeah, this is the 23rd ranked team.
I would say lower. I mean, barring a really good draft where you add a couple of studs as rookies, let's just pretend like Daniels is 25 right now. The only guy he lists as a blue chipper, because he lists Daniels and offensive lineman Brandon Coleman, I wouldn't even consider him a blue chipper. I think he's a good player. Mm-hmm. He has a chance to be a very good guard. right now, this moment, would you bet on him making a Pro Bowl in the next couple of years? I think that would be fun. That would be cool. But I don't think you could just lock that in. Look at Sam Cosmi as an example, who was drafted similarly to Coleman outside of the first round as a right tackle. Now, Coleman played on the left side this past year and then got kicked inside the guard after a couple seasons playing tackle. Cosmi has been excellent at times. He is considered a Pro Bowl caliber guard, and yet he's still never made the Pro Bowl. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
So the idea of Coleman being a blue chipper is a little bit of a stretch. I actually think he misses the boat here on making Mike Sanders still the blue chipper. What is a blue chipper in his definition? I don't know. Because Sanders still is probably ultimately going to settle in as just a really good nickel corner, a high-end player at that position. But I think he has a chance to be one of the better nickels in the league based on what we saw last year. So the best young player on this team, not named Jaden Daniels to me, if we're going sub-25 years old, is Sanders still. I would have listed him behind Daniels, not Coleman. But then otherwise, you know how big I am a fan of Johnny Newton. Huge, huge, huge advocate and a big believer that he's going to be awesome. We didn't really see it last year. So I would probably say he has the second highest ceiling. And that's not a crazy thing to say. He was drafted a round ahead of Brandon Coleman. And then I would put Coleman the guard. That's not even to get into like this year's group with Josh Connerly. But overall, I think while when I first heard Washington's third and I got excited and I looked at this and kind of rushed to it for some pride, it actually is jarring and makes me worry a little bit because it shows you, man, outside of Jaden Daniels, I know they're the oldest team in the league, but there's just not a whole lot in the way of high impact, difference maker, potential stars.
The how bare the cupboard was cannot be overstated. And for some people might be tired of talking about it, to be honest with you. Sorry. This is one of those things, like, I heard a guest on the Junks this morning talking about baseball, talking about the Nationals and kind of the State of the Union, and he's like, I hate to bring this up, but COVID, man. Like, they really lost more than anybody else did when COVID hit. Everybody had setbacks, and this is sports stuff. I'm not talking about real life, but and he went through the repercussions, and it's like, yeah, I understand, but still, it's relevant. Those 4 years without a single first-round pick remaining on the roster from Ron and all the Martys and Martin and Marty and Marty and Marty and the party is so devastating for rankings like this. Now, the guys that were drafted 5 years ago would be graduated from this list. But over the last couple, this should be populated by the Giants, except right behind them, have Kayvon Thibodeau still on that list. That should be something like Washington has, like your first-round cornerback, your first-round linebacker who should have been somebody else. That's who should be here right now booing this thing. And it's not. Like, it's remarkable that they've got as much as they have here for shots to be ranked this high, but to me, it's a Jaden Daniels thing, right? That's raising all the boats.
Well, let me make the point for you even better, I think. And that is the Detroit Lions, who are sixth on this list. You look at the guys that they have, it's a litany of players that were drafted in the top three rounds over the last 3 and 4 years, even. Like, if you drafted a young 20, about to be 21-year-old, Penei Sewell is still on this list.
That's incredible, by the way.
I don't know how. I'm guessing he's 24 and on the precipice of being 25 in a week or something. But Penei Sewell, Terrion Arnold, Jamison Williams, Sam Laporta, Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Like, I want all of those players immediately.
They're all great.
Right.
I would, by the way, tell you that they should be ranked way ahead of Washington. But that's where the Jaden Daniels element of being one of the best players in the league at the most important position in the league is so weighted, and it's just so heavily influential that they put Washington third. But take him off the list and compare Brandon Coleman, Josh Connerly, Luke McCaffrey, Ben Sinnott, Mike Sanders still, Johnny Newton, to one of these other teams, you know, around them in these rankings, like the Giants with Malik Nabers, Abdul Carter, Jackson Dart, Kayvon Thibodeau, Tyrone Tracy, Micah McFadden. I mean, that's the bad team in your division.
Yeah.
That is looking up at you, that has way more young talent in terms of quantity and quality, non-Daniels, than you do. The Seahawks are second on the list. Devin Witherspoon, Byron Murphy, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Those are, by the way, just the blue chippers that I'm naming. Then you throw in like Derek Hall and Nick Amonwori and Jalen Milroe and Zach Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker and Charles Cross and Gray Zabel. That's the whole, you know, the half the roster is these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, this is not Adam Peters' fault. He's just the guy that's got to deal with it. Washington doesn't have that. The Giants are the best way to think about it, I think, because they stink in the division,
yep.
And they're the team that you actually are going to push around a little bit. Nabers, Carter, Dart, Kit Thibodeau, Tracy McFadden, and then you go with like Wandale Robinson, Theo Johnson, Deontay Banks, Drew Phillips, Evan Neal, Jalen Hyatt, Daniel Bellinger, Dan Belton, Cordell Flott. Like, there's just, you could run off 15, 16 guys under 25 that are going to play for them this year.
Precisely.
Which is why, while I don't think it's on Peters, we got to keep circling back to the Marty party and to Ron. There is something to be said for the Commanders did trade a bunch of draft picks to go get Laremy Tunsil, who's not on a list like this. Mm-hmm. Now, he makes you a better football team in 2025, but if you took picks there, maybe those guys show up on a list like this. They have opted at several turns. You can go left and go get younger, or you can go right and go get older. Bobby Wagner, go get older, trade for Laremy Tunsil. Go get older.
Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, you know, for Marshawn Lattimore. Give up picks. And they have opted over and over again to kind of get older. And now they're the oldest team in the league.
And so it's double-edged. I think you said it very well, in so much as you could decide to take your lumps, right? Because of how bare the cupboard was, you could say, we need to get a lot younger, which probably means you're like the Giants for a little bit. Now, you have such a great quarterback, and nobody else does, you know, with a couple exceptions, that it wouldn't make sense practically to take your lumps. Like, I don't want it to be like a Caleb Williams situation in Chicago. I don't want it to be like a Jackson Dart situation in New York. I want him surrounded, ready to win right now on this rookie deal. So I know why you did it, but at a certain point, you'd go, eventually, we're going to have some young rookie deal players who are impactful for us in a major way instead of relying on ring-chasing veterans. You can always supplement with that. There's going to be another Von Miller at some point. There'll be another Bobby Wagner. Maybe not that, a gold jacket-wearing future commissioner middle linebacker, but you know what I'm trying to say. Another Zach Ertz who's borderline out of football who comes to play for you because you got a great culture going. But at a certain point, you've got to take your medicine. You would think they've kicked the can down the road on that. And as you said, open up their right-now window with Laremy Tunsil, hopefully with Lattimore if that works out. I get the approach. Again, when you walk into the house that you bought kind of cash, sight unseen, and you go, all right, let's open up, see what the damage is. What do we have to fix first? Oh, my God, it's worse than we thought. What do? We can make it inhabitable right now by going to get a bunch of 35, 36, 37-year-olds that nobody's really that interested in. I guess we'll do that, and we'll figure the rest out now. Later, I mean.
I want to have an impromptu draft of Commanders under 25 years old with you just to see if we agree or disagree on the ceilings of these players. So you can draft however you want to, like any normal team, right? On what they are likely to become or what you think the upside is. But at number one overall is pretty easy. We're going to separate Jaden Daniels.
I think Daniels should go first.
He should.
Do you think?
We'll knock him off the list, though, because it's just too obvious. So I think the number one pick has to be Mikey Sanra still then, who is 24 years old and who last year, despite being drafted to play in the nickel, was their best cornerback outside for almost the entirety of the season. Basically, starting with that Bengals game, I know he got torched on a touchdown, I think, in the first series by Ja'Marr Chase. That's happened to a lot of corners. He had a decent game the rest of the way, and then as the year went on, got better and better and better and better. Sanra still, for me, is the number one pick in the sub-25 Commanders draft.
Fine by me. I'm still hopeful. I'll save him for another pick, though. But give me Brandon Coleman, who handled himself adequately at tackle, and I think will be a plus guard. I don't know about Pro Bowl, but I think he'll be a quality player for them.
Little surprised by that pick. You left Josh Connerly Jr. on the board for me. You went with a guard. I will take a tackle. I will take a first rounder after you took a third rounder on the offensive line. I think I'm getting good upside there. I know we haven't seen him play yet at all.
That's my reason for not taking him.
Yeah, but I mean, who's going to be a better player down the road? Coleman as a left guard or Connerly as a tackle? I got to assume Connerly has more value.
Give me Trey Amos. Opportunity will be there. I think he can play.
I'll stick with my guy. Last year is not quite as impactful a rookie season as I thought it was going to be, but he's only 23. Johnny Newton's going to get a lot of opportunities again this year. John Allen out. He's cut the hair. He's slimmed down a little bit. It looks like he's ready to roll. I believe that he's going to be a pocket-pushing presence for years. I think he's going to be a guy that can get up the field and rush the quarterback from the D-tackle position. So I'll take Johnny Newton. I feel good about that in round three.
Give me Jordan McGee. I think a slightly larger role this year and the understudy to Bobby Wagner, heir apparent as your starting linebacker down the road.
Someone's got to take one of these pass catchers, I suppose. So I'll do that to get things going here. I'll take Luke McCaffrey. He's having a good training camp. Terry McLaurin at this moment is not on the field. There's added opportunities early this season, perhaps, that could be coming somebody's way. I'll say McCaffrey helps to fill that void.
A little bit of a flyer here. This is based on some promising reports from like a week of training camp, two practices and pads, but I'm bullish. Give me Jacory Crosky-Merritt. I think he emerges at some point this year as maybe a more featured ball carrier, and I think next year, that's your starting running back.
That's Bill, by the way.
Bill?
Bill? Is that you, Bill? They need to hit on somebody like that.
Yes.
You know, because when you're trading a bunch of first-rounders, third-rounders, second-rounders, fourth-rounders...
You need that cool story.
A seventh-round running back who turns into your starter, who gives you 3 or 4 years and rushes for 1,000 yards a couple times, it's allowed to happen. What round was Tyrone Tracy drafted in by the Giants? Pretty sure he was in the mid to...
I'm going to say fifth round, I think.
That's what I'm thinking.
Remember,
I'll
serves?
Look it up right now. But, I mean, he came out of nowhere last year. And if he can fix his fumbling problem, he's actually got a chance to be a legitimate stud running back. He was the 166th pick in round 5 last year by the Giants. But you're allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. They did it with Alfred Morris around these parts.
Yeah.
Sixth round out of Florida Atlantic. All right, next on Grant and Danny. Let's talk McLaurin for a moment. We won't do it all day, but I do have something I want to run by you, Danny. I was listening today to the station, and EB from the Junkie said something that I've heard a lot of listeners say, and a lot of people in the media say, which is, the team does not have to budge. They have all of the leverage, and they certainly do have the vast majority of the leverage, and I get that thinking. But without Terry McLaurin, this wide receiver room is bad. This offense is way worse. Isn't this team trying to get back to the NFC Championship game? Wouldn't we say this is a team with Super Bowl aspirations if Jaden Daniels delivers as a sophomore? You can't do any of that without Terry McLaurin. Where does that factor into the leverage conversation? Next on Grant and Danny.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Santana Moss is headed to the Commanders Ring of Fame, Northwest Stadium. Everything about that sentence sounds weird. Having said that, he'll be with us at 3 to talk about that honor. And Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, was at training camp over the weekend. He stops by with his thoughts on not just the Commanders, but all the teams he's stopped through with on his camp tour. That's coming up at 5 right here on The Fan. The idea behind the Terry McLaurin versus the team standoff, mm-hmm. I think for most people, is that the team has all of the leverage. And it is unquestioned that they have most of it. I think you could say that without trepidation. But here's the part of this that isn't really being talked about at all. This assumption that eventually he's just got a post. And I'm as guilty as everyone of assuming that's the case.
It's my big point, I would say. It's kind of like my hammer. And I'm probably overstating the importance of that or the impact that's going to have. But that's kind of the thing I keep coming back to anytime we have this discussion.
Well, it's everybody's big point. Because Right. Let's face it, there's only one way this ends, basically, in everybody's mind. If he doesn't get a deal, he tucks his tail between his legs begrudgingly and at some point shows back up. Now, if he waits until the last possible second to accrue a football season, he could miss several games and still come back in season, have to get back into shape and then play half of the year or whatever. But to your point, Danny, nobody thinks he's going to do that. And nobody thinks that's how this ends. But I just keep hearing this idea of, essentially, well, the team doesn't have to do anything. All they've got to do is just keep turning the calendar to the next day, and eventually McLaurin is going to come back. True. I do think that. I agree with that. But isn't there something to be said for a leverage from McLaurin's standpoint that we have not talked a lot about, which is go watch a practice.
Yeah.
Open to fans tomorrow, although I guess you have to have a ticket, and there's only 3 open practices, so if you didn't get your tickets in the first 6 minutes, it's too late, which is awful that the NFL and the Commanders do that now, but it's where we are. But when the practices are open tomorrow, if you're there, watch the receiving room. You know, watch how they stack up against Washington's corners. The last several days when I've been out there, corners have the advantage. Without Terry McLaurin, you've got a banged-up version of Noah Brown. Debo is not a traditional wide-out, every single down out wide or in the slot. He's all over the place. So if you're talking about just traditional wide receivers that are fully healthy right now and on the practice field, Michael Gallup, who was good a bunch of years ago for the Cowboys, Luke McCaffrey, who caught under 20 balls as a rookie last year, Jalen Lane, a rookie this season who caught a few dozen passes in his college career, at Virginia Tech. KJ Osborne, who was on and off of practice squads in the NFL, kind of on the waiver wire last year. Chris Moore, who's been in and out of organizations, scrap heap, practice squad the last couple of seasons. And then a couple of camp hopefuls, you know, camp body roster hopefuls that have impressed in moments like Ja'Cory Brooks or Mike Strachan, who mossed somebody in the end zone at a practice I was at a couple of days ago. That's the wide receiver room. I got news for you. That's some leverage for Terry McLaurin if this team actually thinks it's really good. If they, Danny, assume that they have a chance to get back deep in the playoffs to an NFC championship game or a divisional round. Because they cannot do that without him.
Agreed. Yeah, the counter to the counter, because you're right. Everything you're saying is correct. The only way for Terry to get what he wants is to go on a football version of a hunger strike. Right? If you do damage to yourself and your rep, and your ability to sign, and your ability to earn what you want to earn and get what you think is coming your way is deserved, is you're damaging the team by damaging you. If you're willing to go full Le'Veon Bell, yeah, the team's worse off. If that's what you want to do, you can, you know, all of your brothers and all the guys that you've bled and sweated and worked through and everybody that's on your side, you're letting them all down to go on this hunger strike just to prove to the team that they're the big bad guy or the organization, the front office, whomever you want to put the finger at. He can do all that damage to himself and make the team worse. That is 100% true. That's on the table if that's how he wants to play it. My view on that is it's so disincentivized and so silly, frankly, for a player who would like to be paid, who'd like to earn what he thinks is worth, to go down that road, given the way the CBA is. It's a fool's errand, but it is on the table. And you're right. I mean, he has that leverage in the sense that you can't do what you want without me. So you've got it, even though I'm under contract and I owe you another year and you guys owe me money based on that. If I don't live up to that contract, you know, watch what happens to your dreams. Watch what happens to the second season of Jaden Daniels and all the goodwill and all the cultural impact that Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and everybody has had. I will light fire to it, even though it's my own fortune too. I'll ruin you guys' thing while I'm ruining my own.
The Joker.
Exactly. That's what I think of.
You're right. You're 100% right. He ain't the Joker. He's not throwing the match on the dollar bills. But I'm saying we at least have to acknowledge that we are assuming we don't know. Everyone's speaking as if it's a certainty because it's common sense enough that it feels that way.
Yep.
But it is still an assumption until he shows back up. And I guess my point is, it's the one part of this I haven't heard talked about enough, is that they really need him to play if they're going to be what they want to be on offense overall. The damage done to the passing game, to your offensive scheme, to Jaden Daniels' development, the single most important thing in this entire organization, the sun in their solar system, is significant if Terry McLaurin is not out there. And because we all just assume at some point he's got to be there, we go, oh, it'll take care of itself. But in the meantime, I think it just needs to be acknowledged that when I hear, I think it was EB earlier today that said, like, they don't need to budge 1 cent, 1 penny. And his point is well taken. I totally understand that. You've kind of said the same thing.
I have, yeah, for sure.
They don't have to do anything. Just keep looking at the calendar and saying, all right, well, maybe tomorrow he'll admit defeat. Okay. But the secret that nobody wants to talk about is, if he isn't playing in week one, your chance of beating the Giants gets a lot worse. You might still beat them because they're terrible, but thank God it's the Giants. You know, if you were playing Pittsburgh, or you were playing Kansas City, or you were playing a grown-up like Green Bay or Minnesota or Detroit, you might need him actually to get over the top. Yeah. He's the difference between being able to go out and score 30 or maybe scoring 22.
And it, like, they pushed the Giants around last year when they were good. I mean, they had two really competitive, awkward games with them. Very NFC East of you. You're totally right.
But if we're going to tally this up, I guess that this would be my final thought on this. If we're going to say the CBA is currently constructed works against him, $23 million a year Cortland Sutton signed for yesterday hurts him. Having a year of term left on his contract hinders him. Okay. Then we also have to say Washington needing him to win games helps him.
Yes.
And that the Commanders risking an 11 personnel grouping with Osborne and Moore in week one sure as hell is some leverage. Like, the idea that he's got zero, I don't know if we can keep saying that.
I think you're right. I mean, to me, again, I've applied common sense and I've applied reasoning and I've applied knowing the person, right? Like, just naming a receiver. Antonio Brown doing some sort of self-sabotage before he, you know, it got this bad, but while still in Pittsburgh, that would fit the player. Brandon Ayuk not signing until the end of August last year after going on Instagram Live saying, I want to play somewhere else and I don't like these guys, whatever. Doing some self-sabotage, that fits. It doesn't fit for me with McLaurin. This guy that he's been for so long, transforming into this cartoon villain that will ruin this season and his friends and teammates and everybody, just in the name of proving this point.
But did his image fit with him being
no.
at Eastern Motors?
It did not.
Did it fit with him holding out?
No.
One of two players in the NFL that is right now?
No.
Did it fit with him every single day, basically
putting on this little show and hanging out with his agent and stuff?
I was going to say twisting the knife a little bit more and more from Adam Peters' front office standpoint, where you walk out to the chanting and sign your autographs for 45 minutes and, you know, have your public interaction with your agent? Because, again, it's not going over very well on the front office side of that building.
No, that would not be in the typical bits of character for him. I would say this is an exceptional circumstance.
Right, but so would not playing.
So would not playing. And that would be to the nth degree. That would be more than... That goes from Terry McLaurin irritated, trying to agitate for a better deal, to downright selfish diva that doesn't care what burns as long as he gets his way.
See, I would never view it as selfish diva that doesn't care what burns. I would just say it's business. It's gotten personal. And this is him standing up for himself. But I would say that here's the difference. What he's doing now is not financial, like, ruination, so to speak. He showed back up because it was really bad for his financial situation to stay away. So he's there now, and the financial part can't be affected again until, you know, you don't accrue a season. The reason I think me and you and everybody else assumes that eventually he would show up in season is because you have to be on the team enough for him to actually get to credit for the year.
Mm-hmm.
not to mention to get your checks for playing football, but that way you get to the market to get paid again or get tagged or whatever it is this coming offseason. But let's open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. Our listener lines are there for you. If you've heard, like I have, this idea that the team is not going to budge, they don't need to budge, there's no reason for them to bend the knee at all, do you agree with that? First off, 800-636-1067, that eventually he'll come to them. Because I think most of us, that's kind of the deep assumption in the back of the head is like, it'd be nice if they met in the middle, but if someone has to go to the other person's zip code, the team's not traveling to McLaurin's neighborhood. But when you look at that wide receiver room, what are they without him? Can you make the case that they don't need him on the field to be a prolific passing offense? Is there some version of this room, sans McLaurin, early this year? Brown, Debo, Gallup, McCaffrey, Lane, Moore, Osborne, where you say, yeah, they're good enough without McLaurin. Because it seems like that is the ultimate leverage when they've built this room around you.
Mm-hmm.
And without you, you go from above average group to well below average. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on Grant and Danny.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I was hanging out with the boys in the production room during the break, and my new thing as of yesterday, and it's not a thing yet because I haven't done it two straight days.
Okay.
CapCut Paulson is to do like some kind of like social media show compilation where I like get everyone's thoughts on something, maybe related to the day, and then I'll post it.
And you've gotten pretty good at like doing the editing bit. It's like you're a young person.
I don't know about that. I mean, it's just.
I can't do what you're doing.
I'm doing it on a scale of like 3% good out of 100. But I guess that's better than zero. I don't know.
Better than a middle-aged guy being like, so what is the cap cut exactly?
But any hoodles.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I did one. I posted it at Grant H. Paulson reacting to the Courtland Sutton news with the whole crew so you could see everyone's thoughts. Today, I'm doing, in honor of Happy Gilmore 2, mm-hmm. I'm doing your favorite celebrity cameo in a movie. So Metal Chris just gave me an awesome one. I'm not going to bury the lead because I'm going to post this on Instagram at Grant H. Paulson. This will shock you. Daris and Ryan, who have seen a combined 4 movies together, neither of them had an answer and need to think about it more. What comes to mind first for Danny Hutier?
Cam Neely, Dumb and Dumber.
That's a good one.
That's the one seat. That gentleman over there is Seabass.
4 Boilermakers. Seabass. Cam Neely was so good.
He was perfect.
All right, we're talking Terry McLaurin. Everyone keeps saying that he's got zero leverage. The team has all the leverage. I just think that's hyperbolic, right? The team has almost all the leverage. But I'm at practice watching their wide receiver room go through drills, and I'm going, every one of these practices Terry's not at helps him a little bit because this is not a group you could start the season with. That's got to mean something at some point, right? That's the question for you at 800-636-1067. 3 o'clock, Santana Moss is going into the Commander's Ring of Fame.
That's Ring of Famer Santana Moss, thank you.
5 o'clock, Brian Baldinger, football guy. I saw him on the sideline at practice. That pinky, man.
Yep, you cannot see it.
It gets me every time.
I've seen it a million times. The million first time, I'll still go, ah.
Do you remember Ken Brew?
Yeah.
He did TV on Channel 9 many, many years ago.
Uh-huh.
He had a great line that he said about Charles Mann. While the three of us were on air together, which is a funny sentence, when I was 10 years old in Frostburg at training camp for Channel 9.
Yeah.
And he said, don't ask Charles Mann for directions. You'll be going in 10 different ways. Because, you know, you play in the league long enough, like you break enough fingers. And Charles was like cracking up and laughing at him and like, oh, how dare you say that? You know, whatever.
Right.
But that Brian Baldinger pinky, brother, that's a 90-degree angle.
I mean, if he's pointing north, it's pointing east. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going a totally different direction. It's running away from the rest of his hand.
Let's hit the phones. Let's go to Drew in Graysonville. Drew, does McLaurin have some leverage based on how much worse the receiving room is without him?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he clearly has impact in the receiving room. Plus, the team has made other investments in, like, Tunzel and Lattimore that are kind of win-now investments.
Yes.
And you knock down that receiving room, and it's like, wait a minute, why did I spend money on these guys if I was waiting till next year to be, you know, competitive in the playoffs?
Well, not only that, Von Miller, one-year deal. Zach Ertz is year-to-year at this point of his career. Bobby Wagner, same thing. It's actually a really good point. Everything they've done is about winning in this moment, or giving themselves a chance to go on a run this year. And now this McLaurin standoff does not necessarily feel that way. Like, you could just end this thing and say, we got to worry about 25, 27 be damned. Let's just figure out this year and next year with McLaurin, and we'll worry about 3 years and 3 years. They're doing it a little bit differently in this regard than just patching things up with veterans to win as many games as possible in the moment.
Yeah, so to me, the biggest part of Terry's leverage isn't necessarily what you're saying. I think is a very solid point. But the team isn't prepared for life without him. I mean, yeah, Jalen Lane's flashed a couple times in camp. That's adorable. Are you ready? You sure you're ready to go into the season to replace 1,100 yards and, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 touchdowns with a fourth-round rookie that didn't catch that many passes at Virginia Tech last year? I'm not. Or any of these other veterans. They're not prepared for life without him. And had they had this offseason where you go, hey, this might go south, and they drafted differently, or instead of trading for Lattimore, they'd traded for another receiver that was young and on the rise, or they had kind of an apprentice the way that Jordan McGee's apprenticing Bobby Wagner. If they had somebody that was ready to take over, I'd go, yeah, they've got all the leverage and all the cards. They don't at all without him.
Here's something else I was thinking about yesterday. Their week 2 games, short week Thursday night game against the Green Bay Packers.
It's week 2, yeah.
So, number one, you're leveling up. Number two, you're playing an important conference game against a likely playoff team in Green Bay. But you're on the road on a short week. If he were to come back right at the start of the season, He's probably not just missing week one. He might also be missing week two. Just something to think about. But on top of that, you might be able to get by a team like the Giants or the Raiders in week three or something like that without Terry McLaurin. I think when you're playing the really good teams on your schedule like Green Bay in week two, the difference between having him and not having him is maybe not being favored or not, but the legitimate chance that you have to win does drop some. Let's go to Nate in Silver Spring on Grant and Danny. What's up, Nate?
What's up, boys? I'm glad you finally came around to it, Grant. I'm right with you. Like, he's not playing on that $22 million this year. And I was out there today, man, and every time those dudes drop a pass, man, it's like he's making more money, like $500,000 here. Like, he's got leverage. I don't know why EB, like, people keep saying he doesn't have any leverage. He's got all the leverage, and money talks. So if you're not taking care of your own players, guess what? The fans will go right back to being apathetic, and they're not going to show up for stuff, and they're not going to support you. And so they got to take care of Terry, like, and they need him to go to the Super Bowl.
They definitely need him to go to the Super Bowl. He does not have all the leverage. Anybody looking at this thing in football would tell you he's got way less leverage than the team because he's under contract this year. He has to show up at some point so that he gets what he wants. And that's where the team has the leverage. In addition to the fact that the market changed a little bit yesterday for older receivers too, there's a disagreement over what matters to McLaurin in terms of the market. His agent thinks being a really good wide receiver is the market. And the team says his age, about to be 30, is the only thing that matters, whereas his agent says, doesn't matter if he's about to be 30. He's about to be in his eighth season in the league, and guys get paid very well in years 8 and 9 in the NFL, and you've got to do the same with him. So that's where the disconnect is, that they think it's about experience, the team thinks it's about age. But I'm just arguing that he's got more leverage than is being let on. I still think it's limited. You know, the caller there said he's got more leverage than the team.
I would disagree with that category. Yeah.
I don't know how you can make that case.
I've probably been overstating that the team holds all the cards simply because of my common sense conclusion that it would be self-destructive to Terry's aims to not play football.
But that's my point. We're just all assuming
that he
does not hit the detonate button.
Yeah, and that's a valid criticism of my viewpoint. Right. I'm sitting there going, I've seen too many people sign contracts so late that have been way more devastating than this. Or acrimonious than this, and the team holds all the cards because Terry's not a crazy person that would detonate his own interests.
He is the nuclear codes. We're all saying he's not going to use the nuclear codes. He's
exactly.
Not that guy.
There it is.
And so if we all assume that, then they have all the leverage. But he's holding the nuclear codes.
He has them.
Let's go to Dan in Connecticut. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. I just want to say two things, and then I want to give you a scalding hot take. Disagree with the last caller and everyone who's saying, you know, we got to take care of our players. This is not a lifetime appreciation bonus. It's not a nice guy bonus. They're doing what they need to be doing in terms of the team's financial flexibility. I also think we need to get away with prefacing everything with Terry's a great guy. He's doing everything right. He's professional. He's not right now. He's extorting the team, which is his right. It's his right to do this, but I think we got to stop with those prefaces.
Well, hang on before you go on. I'll let you continue. But I think when people say that as the prefaces, it's because his entire career has been spent that way, which a lot of us feel like should be taken into account when it's time to make the decision as to how to either reward or not reward the player. And that's not just about services already rendered. It's about what you're saying from a messaging standpoint about what it means to you to have a guy do everything the right way. I don't think anybody's suggesting that this week Terry McLaurin is Mr. Nice Guy and Mr. Team First. I think the point is, we know who he is. He's been around here for 7 years, and he might be, you know, the Walter Payton Man of the Year in the league over those 7 years in terms of professionalism. But continue.
I would agree with that. I think we also need to recognize he's a great commander. He's a great piece. He's not the second coming of Jerry Rice. So
facts.
This is what I think is, I think Adam Peters is going to do the most Adam Peters-y thing, which is if this cannot get resolved, we're going to see a trade for a third rounder, 1 year deal to Amari Cooper. Now what?
So that's interesting. I mean, I'm going to table the Amari Cooper part to come back to because I don't know how much football he's got left, frankly, at this point.
Yeah, last year in Buffalo, I was wrong. I thought, what a great move for Buffalo. Tumbleweed. Nothing.
Yeah, it was bad. The trading of him, I can't see. But we can circle back to that for sure. I don't think they're going to do it. I also think if you were to trade him when he needs a new contract, the return would not be as good as a lot of people think.
Mm-hmm.
I heard somebody call into one of the shows the last few days. You look for a first, no chance. Like a second and a third, I think that's way too rich. I mean, to me, it's a one-year deal, and you got to pay this guy $30-some million a year or whatever to make him happy. Nobody's giving up a one or probably even a two. Like a three and a five, I don't even know. The value for trades changes all the time. But I don't think you'd be talking about multiple picks in the first couple of rounds. I can assure you that. Santana Moss was in Washington until the final days of his career after playing with the Jets. He's going to go into the Ring of Fame. We'll talk to him about that next as soon as he joins us. Plus, we'll get his thoughts on what's going on with Terry McLaurin right here on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.